Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Isaiah chapter 54. I've got a one-word title that I'll share here in just a moment. And I will tell you what I told them on Wednesday night. I will tell you what Kawhi has told Toronto. I will not be here long. Luke chapter 6. Verse 6, and we'll read verse 10, and then we'll fill in as we go. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that Jesus entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. Verse 10, and looking around about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand, and he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Now flip back to Isaiah 54, verse 1 through 3, a familiar portion. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. How many of you have those friends that break forth into singing, whether they can sing or not? And cry aloud that thou didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate. Let me just put that word out there. For more are the children of the desolate, it's a prophetic word, than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Meaning those that don't have anything and they're in a barren state. God said, after it is all said and done, you are going to have more than the people that started off the most fertile. Can I encourage somebody today that you've been looking at somebody that's got a lot? Don't look at what they have. Look at what you have. And if it isn't what God has called you to have, it's not over yet. God is still moving. God is still working. As they say, saying today, we might not see him working, but he's still working. We might not see him moving, but he's still moving. Enlarge the place of your tent, verse 2. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. The NIV says, verse 2, like this, enlarge the places of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide. Stretch your tent. I'm getting ready to move something in your tent that's too big for the opening that you have. You've got to stretch. Come on. You've got to get rid of the single door, and you've got to get double doors. You've got to get some French doors. What I'm getting ready to do in your life, if you'll prepare and stretch, I'm getting ready to bring you something big. Somebody say big. It said, don't hold back. That's what the word says. Don't hold back. Meaning if you don't expect God to hold back, then we can't hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. I want to preach for just a few moments on the word, on the title, on the subject, stretch. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, stretch. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Stretch. Yesterday morning, I woke up at 3:45 a.m. and I went out to load some cows. And I drove all the way to the southernmost point of Texas, past Brownsville, to drop those cows off, and drove all the way back just in time to preach to our youth and young adults last night at 6 o'clock. Say, why would you do that? There's only one thing that would wake me up at 3:45 a.m., Jesus. There's a second thing that will wake me up at 3:45 a.m., money. And so this lady said, I want these cows. I need them delivered. I said, this is the delivery price. This is the price of the cow. She said, when could you be here? I said, can we do it on Monday? She said, no, we cannot. And so in business, you've got to strike while the iron's hot so she don't change her mind, so she don't find other cows, so she don't find a better deal. And so at 3:45 a.m., I rolled myself out of bed. I got in the truck, and I did a 10-hour round trip. I was outside to unload for about 10 minutes, and I got right back in the truck. When I got back to San Antonio, Texas, right at 6 o'clock yesterday, I needed to stretch. And when I really stretch, you can ask my family, when I stretch, it's none of this little thing. I'm a noisy stretcher. Any noisy stretchers? Yeah! Because when we are in a dormant state, our muscles contract. When we sleep, our muscles contract. See, when you woke up this morning at 7 a.m. and you got out of your bed to make your way to the bathroom, if you're probably over the age of 35, it sounded like a machine gun going off. Pop, 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 pop. And at some point, you stretched. Because for the previous 5, 6, 7 hours, you were on your back, your muscles contracted, and you needed to stretch so that the movement and the mobility of your limbs came back. I know that there's a lot of people in our world that need to stretch because they've been in a dormant state too long. Let's talk about the church. Some of us have been saved so long that we are comfortable, that our muscles have tightened, that our muscles have contracted. But God sent me to encourage you today and tell you to stretch. To stretch forth because you're about to get something you've never had before. To stretch forth because you're about to receive something that God said, now is the time. You weren't ready for it last month or last year, but now is the time. And so I've come to encourage you to stretch. I've come to encourage you to stretch farther than you have ever stretched before. I've come to encourage you to not let somebody else withhold and somebody else and what they're doing, holding and hoarding. Don't let them rob you of your faith moment to stretch forth and grab hold of what God has called you to have. When I went and I looked up the definition of stretch, there is many definitions, 15, 16 definitions, stretch as a noun, stretch as a verb, but there was three definitions that jumped out at me and they perfectly illustrate what we're talking about today. Number one, stretch means to extend the hand to reach for something. That means something that is just out of reach. Something that is on your fingertips, but you cannot get a hold of. Something that you can see, but for some reason you can't get your hands around it. I'm here to tell you today that if you'll stretch again, if you'll get up and if you'll put your arm out there as far as you can get it, and when you've gotten as far as you get something down on the inside and say, God, this is the time. I've tried before and I've missed. I've tried before and I've fallen short. But here in July of 2018, I'm going to stretch again. And this time my faith is going to propel me to a place that what I stretched for that didn't work last year, I'm going to stretch and I'm going to get my hands around what you put in front of me. Oh, it gets better. Stretch means to draw out, to extend oneself or a body limb to the full length. Meaning until you have stretched, you are not living your 100% fulfilled purpose. Until you have stretched. Have you ever heard somebody say the phrase, oh, that is stretching me? And we say it because it makes us uncomfortable and we use that as a negative. But when you are on the potter's wheel and you have the pressure of them pushing you and pulling you and manipulating you, as long as I'm on the potter's wheel, I trust the potter. I might be made uncomfortable for a season. It might get me out of my comfort zone on Sunday, but I'm stretching. I'm not stretching to stretch. I'm stretching because I'm getting ready to move. I'm stretching because I'm getting ready to possess what God said I could have. Then I love this. To stretch, thirdly, means to increase the quantity by a process called admixing. To increase the quantity by a process called admixing. Have you ever started running low on something and you said, I have to make it stretch? I don't have enough for everybody. I only have enough for 3/4 of the people. But if I stretch it, you with me this morning? If I add something to it, I can stretch it. And if I'm a good enough baker, if I'm a good enough chef, I can add something and stretch it. And they'll never know the difference that what was not enough is now more than enough. what I didn't have at the beginning of the process, I now have more than enough. See, when you stretch, you might have walked in here with lack, but you're going to leave not only with what you need, you're going to leave with a surplus so you can sow another seed. You can do something else on down the road. And so you can mix certain things in to stretch out, to get more, and to have more. Let's go back to the original text, Luke chapter 6, verse 6. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath. This has nothing to do with this message, but I think it's very much needed to point out. In verses 1 through 5 of chapter 6, Jesus had already been to church twice on different Sabbath days. I say that to say this, and I'm not preaching to the choir today, and I don't necessarily want to preach to those of you in the building. Let me talk to the ones that are watching by live stream today. If Jesus went to church, if Jesus felt it a need on Saturday night to go to bed at a decent time because he knew there was an appointment on Sunday morning, if Jesus, you said, well, why did Jesus show up to church? Jesus showed up to church to teach. Jesus showed up to church to heal. But Jesus showed up to church, I love this, because there was a predestined appointment that people were going to be at the synagogue when he was going to be at the synagogue. And Jesus said, how would it look if everybody comes and congregates under my name and I don't show up? When you show up to church, you don't show up for me. You don't show up for the person sitting next to you. You show up to church because it is a divine appointment. The reason I rolled out of bed at 6:30 this morning wasn't for you, baby. The reason I rolled out of bed at 6:30 and planted myself in the church is because I know the God of the universe. With everything going on in North Korea, with everything going on in Russia and China, I knew the God of the universe about 9 o'clock was going to hear my praise, was going to hear your worship, and he was going to literally step down over the balconies of heaven and inhabit praise. And I don't want Jesus to show up at church and me not show up. Third time, and I'm assuming in as many weeks, Jesus has shown up to church. And on this third time, he enters the synagogue and he teaches. Y'all, Jesus is a boss now. The second time he entered the synagogue, he walks directly past everybody to the table of showbread and eats it. Then he starts passing it out to his disciples. There's a great revelation here. That's the verse 5 and verse 4 and 5. Jesus is the first partaker. And what Jesus eats of, when he has his fill, he turns around and he starts giving it out to those disciples that have followed him where? Into the church. The disciples that followed him to the church didn't get any. The believers that heard about him and were fans of Jesus and liked his profile page on Facebook, they didn't receive it. But the disciples that had enough sense to say, I know where Jesus is going to be Sunday morning at 9 a.m. I know where Jesus is going to be. I know what he's going to be doing. I'm going to follow him in. And when they follow him in, Jesus goes directly to the bread, starts eating the bread, and then he turns around to his disciples. Not everybody in the church got to eat. Only the disciples. That's why you can go to church and feel robbed. That's why you can go to church and leave empty. Because God's not blessing people that go to church. God is blessing people that follow him and intersect with the divine appointment, that are followers of Jesus on Sunday, on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday. We love Jesus. We're followers of Jesus. We believe in Jesus. So in verse 4 and 5, he starts handing out bread. Here we are in verse 6. He shows up and he begins to teach. In my mind's eye, it would be like one of our TBN preachers being up sharing and doing illustrations and all of that. And when Jesus walks in, Jesus says, cut his mic and turn mine on. I've got something to say. You know what I love about Living Way? We follow the Holy Ghost. It ain't about what Brandon wants to preach. It ain't about what songs they're going to sing. When the Holy Ghost shows up, we give him the mic and say, you do what you want to do. If I get to preach, great. If not, I'll preach it next week, or I'll preach it on Monday on the street corner. But God, when you show up, the whole reason we came to the synagogue today was so that we could reverence, so that we could praise and worship Jehovah God. But I'm here to tell you, Old Testament scholars, Pharisees, Sadducees, you're worshiping Jehovah up there, but Jesus Christ, the manifestation of Jehovah, is standing in front of you. I love this. And he entered the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. I believe, as Bishop taught a few weeks ago, that this was a plant. The Pharisees, the Sadducees knew Jesus was coming. They went out and found a man with a withered hand, put him on the front row because they knew Jesus would be there. And it was a plant, it was a setup, it was a trap. But I love Jesus. No matter what the enemy tries to trap us with, God is going to turn it to our favor. The scribes and Pharisees watched Jesus. Would he heal this man on the Sabbath? That they might have a chance and a reason to accuse him. Verse 8, but he knew their thoughts. Come on now. It ain't what the enemy says about you that's always the worst. It's what he thinks about you. But Jesus, all man, is all God. He's standing there teaching. He sees the withered hand. He sees the hand that can't hold, that hand can't grasp, that can't receive. But while he's sensing and looking at the withered man's hand and the need, while he's passing out showbread, while he's doing all of these things, he can see all of the haters in the crowd and how they wish he would fail and how they wish he would fall and how they wish they would have a reason to accuse him. He knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up, stand forth. And he stood in their midst. Jesus asked him to do something that he could do. Come on now. Jesus didn't say do a handstand, because he knew there was a withered hand. Jesus didn't say hold my Bible, because he knew he had a withered hand. But I'm going to tell you what, there was nothing wrong with the two men's feet. The man's 2 feet and the man's 2 legs. God will never ask of you something that you can't do. He always asks you something. It might be tough. This man's not even supposed to be in the synagogue. Here he sits, and Jesus looks at him. He did not deal with his infirmity first. He noticed his infirmity. He knew his infirmity was there. The first thing Jesus did was he tested his obedience. Sometimes I want God to show up and show out in my life, but I want him to do it on my terms, where it requires nothing of me and the responsibility and the action is all on him. My petition is made known, and God says, Brandon, I need you to do something you can do. I need you to stand up. I need you to stand up in the middle of your peers. I need you to stand up on the people that hate you. I need you to stand up in front of the people that despise you. I need you to stand up to the people that have ignored you. I need you to stand up to the people that have rejected and mocked you because of your condition. I just need you to stand up. And I never will not do what God has called me to do, because anytime there is a call to obedience, there is getting ready to be an outpouring of God's miraculous and supernatural power. Can I encourage you today? I don't want to discourage you, but I want you to look back over your life. Maybe not your life, maybe look back past over the last 48 hours or the last couple weeks. Is there anything that God has called us to do that we have left undone? Because your miracle is on the other side of your obedience. And when you obey, God is going to release every good and perfect gift. Why? Because there's no variableness, there's no shadow of turning. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whether it's a withered hand, a withered bank account, a withered marriage, a withered family, God is looking for an act of obedience so he can show up in our lives. Somebody say stretch. And he stood forth. Verse 9, and Jesus said unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? He has a conversation in front of everybody to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And in this he is breaking down their argument. He is making them look silly, because a lot of the things that we argue and a lot of the things that we make a stand on, when we really break it down to the most common sense, it is a silly argument. And so they're saying Jehovah said that he cannot be healed on the Sabbath. Jesus said, when I stepped onto the scene, I fulfilled everything Jehovah said. Every prophecy, every declaration is found in me. Do you really think Jehovah wants him to be sick another day? Don't listen to your friends. Don't listen to bad theology. God's not teaching you a lesson. You're not going through all of this because of something you did wrong. You're going through a lot of this because the devil hates you. And you have to understand that God is not saying, well, I'm going to let you live with this until August because it's going to teach you something. God is saying, why not today? Why not now? Don't listen to all of the negative. Don't listen to why God can't. Listen to the promises of God, why he can. There's 6 benefits of stretching that we're going to cover very, very quickly. 6 benefits of stretching. Now, before we get to these benefits, when I was a younger man, when I was 160 pounds and I played a lot of basketball, I never stretched. I was active all day, every day. But I promise you, if you get me out on that basketball court tonight, I will stretch longer than I will play. There is benefits in our physical body to stretching. I studied a lot of these benefits out, and it's amazing that physical benefits given to us by doctors and science and sports medicine, how much it totally aligns itself with the original text and the Word of God. Number one benefit of stretching. Now we're talking about stretching. Number one, it releases stress. Sometimes, holding on, people of God, grasping, withered hand, grasping something so long, you keep all of that energy, all of that spirit that is not of God, and you keep it. That's why when I stretch, it's like the Williams sisters when they serve. You say that's annoying. It is a proven scientific fact that when they yell, that they're stronger, that they're more powerful, that their serves are at a faster rate of speed. So when I stretch and I'm releasing stress, because it's no longer what I'm keeping in, it's what I'm letting go of. Because in the process of my stretching, I'm not only reaching for what God has for me, I'm letting go of things that God never meant for me to carry. You're in this house today, I want you to put your hand in front of you and just say, I'm stretching forth. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon him, upon Jesus, for he cares for you. When you cast your cares, you're stretching. When you cast your cares, you are now in the posture what to receive what God has called you to stretch for. Number two, stretching fortifies your posture. Some of us need to check our posture. If we're really believers and lovers of Jesus Christ, we should not be downtrodden. We should not be kicking the dirt. We should not have our head hung and our shoulders slumped. It doesn't matter what we're going through. When you stretch forward to the things of God, it is going to fortify your posture. Your back is going to get a little straighter. Your shoulders are going to get a little square. Your head is going to go up. Why? Not because I'm not going through anything, but I'm going through something that God is helping me get through so he can help me get to what he has called me to. And when I stretch, it strengthens my posture so that no matter what the devil hits me with, my posture is such that it won't knock me down. It won't take me out. Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. How do we stay steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord? I'm glad you asked, because Paul answers the question in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all to stand, Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When I stretch forward, listen, I can't stretch like this. Right. See, when my feet are in line with my shoulders, I can't call this stretching. Right. And right now, anybody in here could come and shove me, and I'd fall over. But the moment I stretch, my posture changes. Come on now, don't miss it. See, if I'm going to reach forward, I can't reach forward like this. I've got to get the stance so that when I stretch forward, because let me tell you something, the devil's not going to attack you when you're like this, holding and withered. The devil's going to wait until you get all the way extended. And then he's going to hit you with everything that he has. But I'm here to tell you, you should have hit me harder when I was withered. You should have hit me harder when I was hoarding. You should have hit me harder when I was withholding. You should have hit me harder when I was cowering in the corner. You should have hit me harder when I was too depressed to get out of bed. You should have hit me harder when all of hell was coming against me. But now that I've got enough faith to stretch, hit me with your best shot, because what I'm getting ready to put my hand around, I'm going to be able to beat you back to hell where you came from. I've got a God that is saying, Brandon, stretch, keep stretching, keep reaching. When you reach, you get stronger. Your position, your posture is fortified. Somebody say stretch. Number 3 of 6, stretching increases your stamina. Toby Keith had a song many years ago. It's a song about getting older. And he says, I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. Meaning, I used to be able to go all day. I used to be able to fight. I used to be able to carry on all day long, every day. But he said, now I'm good for about 5 minutes. It's always amazed me in UFC, in boxing, that if you take all of that time, a UFC championship fight, 5 rounds, 5 minutes, 25 minutes, doesn't seem like very long, but a lot of great fighters lose because they can't get the job done in the first 5 minutes. In the second round, the third round, the fourth round, the fifth round show up, and they lose not because they weren't strong. They lose not because they weren't trained properly. They lose not because they don't have the stature or an undefeated record. The reason they lose is they could not go the fight's distance. And we've got a lot of people in church today that can fight hard on Sunday for 90 minutes. But this is not where I'm attacked. I'm attacked out there, the other 166 and a half hours. And so I've got to make sure that I'm stretching, because when I stretch, I increase my stamina, meaning I'm going to send the devil back running. But if it takes all day Monday, I'll be here Tuesday. I'll still be fresh. I'll still be faith. I'll still be fighting. If it takes till August, guess what, devil? You picked the wrong man and the wrong fight, because I ain't going to wuss out after a few minutes. I'm in this for the long haul, and God forbid it should take a decade. I'll be fighting in 2028 just like I'm fighting in 2018. Somebody say yes. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those that wait upon the Lord, those that stretch towards the Lord. Number 4, stretching decreases the risk of injury. That is why I will stretch longer than I will play. Because young Brandon never got injured. But 40, 50-pound overweight Brandon will get injured going to the refrigerator to add another ounce or two. So I've got to stretch. So I've got to stretch not to recover from injury. Come on now. I don't stretch because I did something wrong and I got injured. I stretch as a pre-strategy. I reach as a pre-strategy. I look to what God has for me, and I start stretching towards that as a strategy before I get hurt. Because I promise you, if you'll become a stretching Christian, if you'll get your faith out of your pocket, into your hand, and start using it, you're not going to be injured like everybody else is injured. That's why real believers, we don't get offended like everybody else gets offended. We don't get bitter like everybody else gets bitter. We don't harbor unforgiveness. Why? Because I'm too busy stretching to allow somebody to offend me, to get bitter so that I do not forgive them. I'm too busy stretching. Somebody say stretch. Psalm 103, verse 2 to 4. Bless the Lord, O my soul, David said, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, healeth all my disease, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. David was stretching. Worship is stretching towards God. Praise is stretching towards God. Number 5, I love this. This is what I need in my life. I claim it in Jesus' name. Galatians 6, 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Number 5, stretching improves your energy level. Anybody ever wake up tired? Anybody ever tired? Anybody in here tired of fighting the same old battle? We need energy. What the world calls energy, we call the Spirit of God. I'm not going to get tired. I'm not going to get weary. And when I do, I'm not going to allow that to make me hold back and quit stretching towards the things of God. I'm going to keep stretching, because the closer I get to God, the more I can lean into His strength, the more I can lean into His Spirit, the more I can lean in who He is. And number 6, I love this. This is the best one. Stretching promotes blood circulation. The more I stretch, the more the blood moves. Oh, I thought I was in a Holy Ghost church. I thought I was in a blood church. The more I stretch, the more the blood that has been applied is not just on me, it's moving. If it's moving, that means there's a heart pumping somewhere. That heart that's pumping somewhere, that's the heart of God. That heart that they thought they had killed, the heart they thought they had stopped, it's still pumping 2018 years later. It's still pumping in your life. It's still pumping in my life. I'm not covered in the blood only. I'm covered in a fresh dose of the blood. The blood keeps regening, keeps regenerating itself. The blood is stronger today than it has ever been. And when I stretch toward Jesus, that blood starts moving. The farther I stretch, the more the blood moves. The more intensity I stretch with, the more the blood starts circulating. And some of us don't need a new thing. We don't need God to show up with a different thing. We just need to stretch, because in our stretching, the blood is reactivated in our lives. And when the blood is reactivated, stand on your feet. Brother Michael, you'll come up here real quick. I love this. I've never heard anybody preach about this. Let me say this before I get to Michael. You go to Exodus, and when the death angel is going over the houses, what does God tell him to do? Put the blood on the doorposts. I love this. Let me run over here. Stay right there, Mike. I'm a short guy. I can get the doorposts. But if I want to get the door way, if I want to get the top of the door, what do I have to do? I got to stretch. Sometimes you're going to have to stretch so that the blood covers all of you, everything. Sometimes it's not the easy places. Sometimes you might even have to get a step ladder. You might have to get an extension ladder so you can stretch higher. I'm here to tell somebody, you are one stretch away from having the blood of Jesus applied fresh. You're going to be the withered man, all right? Can you wither your hand up? That means he can't grasp. It's his right hand, the right hand of authority. It's withered. He's holding it there. Jesus knows about this. Jesus is getting ready to heal this. Jesus is not, let's go out here. Jesus is not looking at this. Jesus is looking at this. Oh, you're going to get it. It's going to bless you. Because the Bible says that when Jesus said, stretch forth your hand, he stretches forth his withered hand.
I love this. And then the Bible says that Jesus made this hand like this hand. Oh, I'm going to preach you happy right here. Give me 60 seconds. The problem is most of us, when we have a withered hand, we don't use our good hand, because if we are damaged goods on one side, we shut down on all sides. But God knows you've got a withered hand today. But what God is saying is if you got a good hand, keep praising, keep worshiping, keep serving, keep giving, keep sowing, keep stirring, keep laying your hands on somebody, keep working. Why? Because I'm going to make you whole at the level of your good hand. Stretch me your bad hand, I'm going to make it just like your good hand. If that's the case, God, then watch me work with this hand. Watch me praise. Watch me do everything you call. I can do more with one good hand than most people can do with two good hands. He says, stretch forth your hand. And then he inspects this hand. That's a good hand. That's a hand of authority. That's the hand of anointing. Can I shake that hand? Oh, that's a strong hand. That's a hand that can really grip and grasp and take hold of the things of God. This is a hand. This is a hand. I can tell this is a hand that has raised good kids, $2 million kids. This is his kids got $2 million in scholarships last month. This is a hand that's a loving hand, got a strong marriage. I like this hand. And so since this hand is at that level, I'm going to make this hand the same level as that hand. And if I make this hand, come on somebody. You've been good with one hand, but wait till God gives you full mobility. Wait till God makes you match on both sides. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I'm opening this altar. No begging. I want you to come down to this altar. If you've got a withered place in your life, join me in this altar. If you've got a place that's not working in your life, join me in this altar. Maybe it's not a hand. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's your money. Maybe it's your ministry. You're withered. You're withered. You're withered. But God's not looking at your withered. God's looking at your best. God's looking at what you got right now. God's looking at the best part of you, and he's going to make the worst part of you. Praise God. I feel it. He's going to make the worst part of you match the best part of you. Stretch. Stretch. Jesus.